Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 67 of From Pain to Power. And today I have a guest and graduate of last year's menstrual cycle coaching and facilitation professional training. We have Elizabeth Tidwell with us to share her personal and professional experience. And the topic of today's conversation is reclaiming body sovereignty after institutional trauma. So it's a big, big topic, and I'm excited to hear more about this. And it's something that I'd be very interested in learning more about. But before we get into that, I just want to remind you all that we do have the menstrual cycle coaching and facilitation professional training coming up this October 2023. Applications are now open, so you are more than welcome to have a read if you're interested in that and click the link in the show notes and send in your application form. We also have webinars this summer, and if you have any questions at all, you can just send me an email at admin@lisadeyoungcoaching.com. Yeah, it's a great course. We have a limited number of spaces this year and applications are coming in, so hopefully we can get you on board soon. So That's the little advertisement for the course coming up in October. And I'd love to introduce my guest with me. So Elizabeth Tidwell is a menstrual cycle coach who helps women and menstruators learn vital body literacy and facilitates a deeper relationship between menstruators and their cycles, bodies, and whole selves. She's also a mom and the founder of My Club Red, a hormone-friendly period self-care subscription box designed to transform menstruators' periods into a time of self-nurture, radical rest, and self-connecting ritual. I love that, Elizabeth. That's such a lovely intro to who you are and your work and your experience as a menstrual cycle coach. So you're so welcome. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay. I'm really excited to be speaking to you because for people who aren't familiar with the course, we finished up in March this year, 2023, and I have been thinking so much about the graduates, but I haven't really had the privilege to speak to them because it's quite an intimate experience. We're on calls regularly and we get to catch up and chat. So it's nice to see you again on camera.
I know. I was actually just talking to another graduate, actually a few yesterday, and I was like, oh, I missed the full community. So it was such a lovely experience.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, you all made it great. That's the lovely thing about the course. You know, everyone really contributes. So I'd love to hear, actually, before we get into today's topic, how was your experience on the training?
Incredible. Incredible. It really deepened not only like my abilities and skills in the field of menstrual cycle coaching, but it has super impacted how I go about my own life. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like this is such foundational content knowledge and like process knowledge that is transformational no matter how you are going to apply it, because it's going to apply all the time. And so mm-hmm. I've super enjoyed really deepening from the course in just like so many different aspects of my personal and professional life. It was so transformational.
That's really amazing to hear. And like, as a facilitator, it's hard for me to kind of step back and see this. So it's really, really helpful. So I wonder, you know, in your experience of the program, that you mentioned the word content and then you mentioned the word process. And I know I talk about that a lot. Like, how would you describe the difference between the two and what they mean for people on the course?
Yeah. So my assumption, and I think a lot of people's assumptions when we start a course or take a program or anything, we are thinking about the content we are going to master. Like, we're thinking about just the things that we'll learn, like with our brains. But this was so much more. It was so much more how to physically, emotionally, mentally, cyclically approach, like how to actually, like the content is the what and the process is the how. Mm. And so that pairing was so, so important, because I feel like so many trainings in every aspect. And again, like, I feel like culturally we value experts to be all about the what, but we pay so much less attention to the how. So I feel like I'm so much better equipped in how to approach anything, like any challenge that arises for me personally. Like, it's mostly just helped me examine how to sit with things and to pay attention. Like, I feel like those are such huge overlooked skills, again, personally and professionally, that the course particularly helped me do. And just notice what's arising for me and for who else is in the room. That's a huge, huge benefit and skill that is so important and valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. And like the group you were in, I mean, everyone really leaned in, didn't they, to the process. And I think that's what I like about trying to keep it not too big, the group, you know, to keep it kind of small. And thank you for those really valuable words of your experience, because it kind of like I'm sitting here a little bit removed from the course because I'm currently not facilitating it, as you know, it's summer. So it's just really nice to be reminded of that. And also it kind of reminds me of my own teachers who helped me to understand what it is that I do and how I do it, etc. And it's coming from a lineage of work from different schools of thought and different teachers and all that. And I love that everyone who comes on the program has a different experience, like you say, personally and professionally. So it's just really, really nice to see it being, you know, you're living it in your everyday life. Would you have any practical examples of how your life has changed since the course, or maybe the way you work even?
Yeah. So this is just a small thing, but I think this really illustrates how prevalent it now is. And like, it's becoming way more of like a second nature skill set. But like the first thing that came to my mind was yesterday, I can't even remember the situation I was in, but I was feeling like I could just feel that I was not feeling good. I was feeling some sort of negative emotional experience. And I just was able to, instead of like be in a reactionary place. And again, this was in personal life. There was nothing like major going on, but just in everyday life, I noticed that. First of all, that awareness was huge. And then I was able to pause and I was able to just do some like self-nurturing touch, like havening for my nervous system to regulate and some other skills like that, that don't take a lot of time or anything like that. And it just helped me relax so much. Or even like right before this call, I just took the time to check in. We took the time to check in and I was able to just like breathe. I was like, I was able to pinpoint what I need is to just take a few deep breaths and then able to carry on. And I feel like those things, again, happen in my personal life and professionally, like all the time. So it's this huge skill set that's opened up that comes into play in my life all the time.
I love that, Elizabeth. And just as you're speaking, I just caught in the corner of your room the certificate.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Sorry. I'm like, wow, that's so cool. She's got her certificate framed, a certificate that the graduates get in the post from me, which is really, really cool. So I really miss you and I miss that group and I miss our process group. You know, we were deep in the process and it's just, yeah, I really thank you for explaining all that, because it's hard for me sometimes to explain it to people who are completely new to this work. And I know you did Red School's menstruality leadership program as well. So it kind of was another training on top of that as well, wasn't it, for you?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I purposefully wanted to layer your course with that one, because I anticipated, and I mean, we'll get into this in the rest of the podcast, but I mean, it's got the word trauma in your description and nervous system. And I was like, that is what I need. And it for sure has delivered exactly. I didn't exactly know. I mean, this is the case all the time. We don't know exactly what it is that we don't know or need, but I knew from those like, that messaging that I was like, yeah, this is exactly the avenue of deepening that I wanted to pair with the Red School training that I'd already done. And it absolutely went above and beyond what I anticipated. Cause again, it was more than just content. It was practical application. And
just for people to hear, like, Elizabeth really did lean into her process and trusted me as well, you know, and the other people in the room, and your openness and curiosity and your ability to listen and your contributions to the group were huge. You know, you really, really did you know, invest your time and energy into the program. And I could really feel that and showed up, you know, you really, really showed up for yourself, for the group, for me. And that's, I think, a testament to the results you've gotten is the work you put in without overworking. Like, it's not hard work.
Right.
It's just being present. And like you say, showing up to this process that we're showing up to in our awareness and our somatic work. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, big congratulations. I'm very excited for you. It's really cool to see the certificate as well.
Yeah.
So let's then segue into your experience and the topic of today. You know, what happened was I invite the graduates of the program to come in onto the podcast and speak a little bit about their experience and or a topic of their choice that is relevant. And so Elizabeth got in touch and she mentioned this topic, reclaiming body sovereignty after institutional trauma, which is a really big topic. So would you like to introduce this topic, why this topic, and where you're at with it?
Yeah. So I was born into a high demand religion. I was born into the Mormon or LDS religion, and it's very patriarchal.
Can I just pause you there for a second for anyone who doesn't know, what does high demand religion mean?
Yeah, so it's kind of a nicer way to say cult.
Okay. So it's like demanding on your whole being in a negative
way. Every aspect of your life. And again, like, I like high demand religion because it's a little bit more descriptive and a little less like people's barriers immediately come up when you call something a cult. So,
yeah. And is high demand religion like the, is that your term or is that the term that's used? That's the term
that's used. Yeah, it's not my term.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, cool. Okay.
Yeah. So it was a very high demand religion and it absolutely informed since birth, like through my family culture, through the LDS or Mormon culture, through the patriarchal culture, American culture. Like there's so many layers, but every layer, my religious upbringing played a big part in how I perceived myself, especially as a female and my body and just like my worth and my, like my use even. Mm. So I grew up with a really not excellent relationship to myself and who I was as I was. I was a huge tomboy. I also have a lot of brothers, so I knew that in the cultures that I was being raised in, all these layers, like it would be better if I were a boy. And so when I was very young, I essentially tried to be, and I've always like kind of pushed against the cultural resistance and like containment of women and menstruators and anybody that's not like a straight white male. So like even from a very young age, I sensed that this was happening to me and everyone like me. And I just finally, when I was older, I finally realized like, oh, it doesn't have to be this way. But when you're raised, especially born and raised in this particular instance, a religion that's telling you this is the only way, I mean, you're a kid, you don't really realize that this is a choice, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like a huge part of my background of how it, like my relationship with myself. And so a few years ago, I had left the religion finally at about age 30-ish, and then took a huge 2-year spiritual hiatus, palate cleanser. I wanted nothing to do with anything religious or even spiritual, which I always knew I would come back to nourishing that part of myself because I knew that it was important to me, but I wanted to separate religion from spirituality and I just needed a huge break. But when I was ready, that was about 2 years later, that's when I came across the idea of cyclical living. And at the same time as when I had a friend recommend to somebody else, not to me, and I just happened to overhear it, she recommended the book Wild Power by Red School. And that was my first introduction. And it blew my mind that I had never, ever, ever, ever heard the message that my body, my female body, my cycling body could be a place of power and a like something that was beautiful and necessary and useful and like important. That was huge. I was always like fighting against my body. I was always, everybody else was fighting against my body, trying to contain my body. There's massive purity culture in the Mormon religion. So it's like, cover up, don't be shown. It's your fault if anything bad happens to your body. Like, anyway, so that was huge for me, reading that book. And actually immediately after reading that book is when Red School happened to be opening up their MLP program. Mm. And I finished the book and I immediately was like, okay, first of all, I need to take my IUD out. And second of all, so many more people need to hear this. So many more. Because it was like immediately started changing how I perceived myself, which is so fundamental to your entire life quality, right? So then, yeah, I just jumped in with both feet and joined the program. And then before that one was even close to over, I had already signed up for years as well. Like, it just became this huge like snowball of how much I wanted this, like how much I knew this was mattering to me and how much I knew this would matter to others with similar journeys, which I think, again, in larger patriarchal society, we all have at least some of that because culturally, we're just less valued. The female and menstruating experience is just less known about and less valued. So I was like, okay, a lot of us can benefit from this the way I had.
Yeah. Wow, Elizabeth, thank you for sharing that. So speaking of trauma, and you mentioned about at a young age, you felt the resistance towards the religion you were born into. If you don't mind me asking, what kind of impact did that experience have on you? Whether that was psychological or somatic?
The impact of what, like...
The trauma. This is the sort of institutional trauma. Like, how did it...
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't mind me asking, we don't have to dive into that. Okay. Okay.
I am just trying to pick apart a lifetime of trauma.
Just a few examples. Yeah. So yeah. People can kind of get a sense of, you know, there might be people listening to this who might still be in that or.
Yeah. Like I said, I, in this particular religion, actually you used a word a lot in the training that was a little bit triggering for me because I never heard this word outside of a Mormon context, the word agency. And it was used a lot in the Mormon world as, you know, like how you ultimately have the power of choice. But what, as I was leaving and once I left, only then did I realize just how much, so much of the religion was like doublespeak. They would say one thing and that's not what they meant, because agency in Mormonism is false. Like, it's, you don't have a choice. There's like one life path for everyone. There's like the right way to do things. You can't choose not to believe certain things. Like, there's no nuance.
They would sort of almost like brainwash you into thinking that you had, like, they would lie, essentially, like manipulate you. Yeah.
So I think in two very important ways, agency, which impacted every Mormon, but also like lots of doublespeak on the importance of being a woman. And it's like, okay, but only the way that you want females to be, which is a wife and a mother and like pretty quiet and obedient. And yeah, I didn't realize at the time that my agency was not something that was a reality. If I wanted to actually remain Mormon, like so much of that was false. And so that's like a huge impact is reclaiming the idea that I do have choices. And a lot of times choices are morally neutral, right? Whereas growing up, that was never the case. Every single choice was like had moral implications. So that's been huge to unravel, is just like this idea of sovereignty in myself, like that I have the power to make choices for myself, and I'm the only one who can make those choices and know what's good for me. Whereas in this institution, it was always handed away to a chain of male authority above you. Even like, actually the biggest thing that was my like deal breaker when I was first leaving was I finally was like, why is I don't feel like I need to have anyone between me and God, right? So like, instead of handing off my own spiritual authority to other people. Yeah. So that's been a huge journey of reclaiming my ability to make choices and be confident and comfortable in that, and like not have to explain them or justify them, or like think everything does have moral implications, that kind of thing. Like, you're not racking up points in heaven if you choose to wear a tank top. Like, it's just a shirt. Like, yeah. So unraveling that has been huge, and mostly just like, again, valuing my own unique way of being as a female that does not have to align with what somebody else wants for my life. I feel like those are the two biggest kind of wounds that I've been healing, is my ability to choose and my ability to express my femininity and be the type of person I want to be.
Wow, Elizabeth, that's huge. That is massive healing, and in such a short space of time. And I know that went on for a very long time, the impact of it, but I imagine it's, you're still finding parts of you that are hidden, because you mentioned about the rules, and I know in patriarchal systems it sounds like it was very overt, like the rules were very overt, but even in non like high demand religious sort of like just normal society, in patriarchy there's a lot of invisible rules that we're navigating constantly and we're not fully free until we, well, I don't think we're fully free until we kind of examine those and ask ourselves, like, what are we adhering to and complying with? Wow. So bring us then on the journey of, practically speaking, like, how did your reclaiming of your menstrual cycle and learning about menstrual cycle awareness and trauma help you to get, you know, that freedom and the freedom to express yourself and have access to your own internal power?
Yeah, I think on a very basic level, the fact that I, like, the concept of taboo, like menstrual taboo, the fact that I'm talking about something that I'm not supposed to, in air quotes, talk about, in and of itself is like a huge exertion of my own power, right? The fact that I'm claiming and loudly able to say, like, listen, we're going to talk about periods, we're going to talk about your cycle, we're going to talk about this thing that, and again, Mormonism is full of female body shame. So we didn't talk about female bodies in any way, let alone this thing that the larger culture already says is something you shouldn't be talking about. So already just like stepping away from the should and should nots of what's acceptable conversation is big. But tell me that question again.
Oh, sorry. No, just about your healing journey. But like, going back to what you said there, the shame, like, that's such a big word. It's quite a loaded word. And imagine it came with a lot of guilt and confusion, considering it was a very manipulative environment. You know, when you're, I've been manipulated. We all have experienced it. I haven't experienced it in the same context as you have, but it can be very confusing, and you start second guessing yourself constantly. And then you lose access to your intuition, you know, and if that's constantly happening to you all the time, like what we talk about on the program a lot is like the impact of that way of being and relating to ourselves and the world has on our physicality, and how it sends us into these fight flight responses constantly. And you're just a bit like, you're not in your body, you know, you're kind of trying to sort of second guess the rules, and you're second guessing yourself, and then you're trying to, you know, sort of interpret what you're supposed to do and guess what other people are thinking and all this, and you're not really like present, you know. It's just this constant focus outside of ourselves, and it's because we're trying to survive and we're trying to stay safe and cope because the system is so harmful. So just to kind of talk about like how much that can really impact somebody and their health and their menstrual cycle, you know, when we have trauma in our body, of course it's going to impact, or can impact, our reproductive system. So even just as you're speaking about it, I'm feeling like the energy in my own body, just kind of realizing like how big that is. So you then discovered, through, you know, synchronicity, divine guidance, I don't know how you want to call it, through your friend, and it's interesting that you became curious about what your friend told your other friend, you know, and I, in the program I talk about, and I was thinking about this as I was going to sleep last night, like, wow, our curiosity is actually very powerful. Like, it's part of our intuition, isn't it? And can we learn to listen and trust our curiosity and get curious about where our curiosity wants us to go, right? So you then you were then, yeah, reclaiming your relationship with your menstrual cycle. And I assume that was through tracking. And was there a lot of like emotional release in this healing journey? Or was it more like more kind of like thoughts and beliefs and things were changing? Did you have someone you were able to talk to about? Because it's a huge transformation, really, you know?
Oh, yeah. Massive. I mean, I did have that friend who had already read the book, and didn't know anybody else who was had even heard the term menstruality, or you know what I mean? And yeah. I talked to her a little bit, which was really helpful. And she also actually was raised Mormon and left Mormonism too. So that was like a double,
nice.
You know, really great person to have in my corner. But yeah, there was certainly a ton of... I think I had been doing so much work kind of like behind the scenes, like kind of unconscious work in those two years of stepping away. Because, I mean, a lot of my family is still Mormon. And I mean, I live in Utah, so I'm surrounded by Mormons all the time. Mm. So there was still the influence of having to navigate stepping away. And for a lot of people who leave Mormonism, I mean, we're taught in the church as members since we're little that there's never valid reason to leave the church, and basically to fear people who leave the church because they've been led astray or XYZ. They've got like a specific set of reasons people leave the church. They're usually not actually true now that I know. And so it's like I knew that. Like I had to navigate some of that stuff. I got really lucky that like my family didn't disown me or things like that, but mostly I just haven't talked to them about it. So even though I wasn't personally practicing anything in those 2 years and I wasn't really vocal about really where I was, but I was doing all this unconscious work of slowly and silently stepping into my own choices and my own power and stepping out of explaining myself, stepping out of kind of the pressure to conform, the pressure to, you know, all those things. And I think because of all that kind of slow germination that had set the foundation for me to, I feel like I did go on this really kind of super powered journey over the past year and a half where I was, it had like created fertile soil for me to then like really progress quickly. And so like I was ready to change how I knew that I had been carrying around internalized patriarchy. I knew I had been carrying around internalized everything, and I knew that it was still in me. So this was like, how do I start reworking some of those things, and how do I start giving myself a different context for my life and my body and my experience? So yeah, a lot of it I was just primed and ready to accept and like be excited about all these things. And they just kind of fell into place. And like I said, at the time when I first read Wild Power, I had an IUD in. And so I didn't like immediately start tracking, but mostly I was just like, it felt like a big deal to purposefully choose to take out my IUD. That felt like a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember that being like, is that really something I can do? Like, do I really want to trust my body? Basically, do I want to trust my body that I'm not going to get pregnant if I don't want to, or that I can, you know, that, and I had had really bad period pain in grad school, lots of reasons for that. But yeah, like my body had been, you mentioned that it probably had a big impact on my body. And yes, my menstrual health was terrible when I was trying to make Mormonism work for me as a highly educated adult female. Like, it just wasn't working anymore, but I consciously wasn't quite there yet, but my body was, right? So I had all these physical problems. And I actually also, when I was younger, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease and autoimmune disease. Like, one of the messages from doing one of the ceremonies and rituals during menstruality work, I'm trying to remember, I think it was, I was doing a menarche ritual.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The first period the celebration, yeah.
And that had been a highly traumatized time for me personally. And so I was kind of reconnecting with that version of myself and reconnecting with my body at that time. And this message came through during this awesome personal ritual that my body has always been there for me. My body has always done its best to take care of me. My body has always done its best to communicate with me. And I just didn't know how to listen. I didn't know the language my body used. I didn't know that it was important. And I didn't know that that's what my body was doing for me. I didn't know that it was a gift, that like my journey with Crohn's disease, my journey with menstrual pain, all sorts of things. And it was like, so emotionally powerful to kind of get this message from my body that it has always tried to take care of me as best as it could. Even through like some of these hard things, like my menarche was very hard. I absolutely completely blocked it out and refused to, I just free bled the first handful of periods because I couldn't deal with my body. So like realizing that my body also had suffered from this, not just my mind, like my body had also been traumatized. Right.
Yeah.
And it, that alone helped me come into relationship with my body on like a beautiful level that had not existed before, is to just like recognize my body as something that's also nurturing me.
Yeah. Like it's on your, it's on your team. It's on your side. Yeah.
Yeah. And not something to fight against. And I had, I had always been fighting against it because I had been, you know, told and had experienced that it was not a place of power or usefulness or benefit.
The very opposite. And that's the thing, like, as you're speaking, Elizabeth, like I'm thinking about trauma and like from my own training and the sort of opinions I've formed on trauma is that like, there's lots of different types of trauma. And so, and they're not to compare, but just for kind of clarity purposes, if you have, say, an incident that has like a beginning, middle and end, that's a trauma. But something like systemic oppression or institutional oppression, it is a totally different type of trauma because it's, A, it's invisible very often and there's manipulation involved. And then very often people go into self-blame because they're confused and lost and you get victim blaming and all that stuff. And then it's also relentless because it's just never ending. And it's very, very difficult to break out of these systems. I think particularly if they're also systems that we have to navigate for various reasons. Like you could be in a very, as an example, very different example, it might be someone who has a job, but they're, it's a very patriarchal workplace environment. And there could be, I don't know, harassment or something. And it's very like, you know, you're getting paid, you know, that's your salary. And if you have responsibilities, it's very hard to get out of those systems. And so the reason I'm saying this is just to really highlight to our listeners, like how harmful the nature is of systemic oppression, institutional trauma, and how like it's, it can be very, very confusing for the people who've been impacted by it.
Yep. Yeah. It's like the full guidebook of how you run your everything in your life. So it's like, there's no escaping it.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like what you were saying, like, you know, patriarchy is the, you know, the system that we live in. And so all women are impacted by that. And then racism, you know, is the systemic oppression that will impact people of color. And so you can't, there's no escaping that. That's just always going to be your reality. And so it is, it gets exhausting after a while. With that said, though, from what I'm hearing from you is you were very courageous and brave and intelligent enough to leave and get out. And, you know, you've trusted yourself and you started your healing work and you were supported along the way. But it also sounds like it was quite a lot of heavy lifting to have to do all that.
Yeah. And I mean, at the time that I left, I had been working at BYU. It was my job. It was a religious institution. I was a university instructor at Brigham Young University, the Mormon college, like the Mormon university. And I'd been working there for 7 years. So I stayed in longer than I probably would have because it was my profession. And so it added another layer of like entrapment. there was a lot of navigating if I wanted to actually do the thing that my intuition and my brain and my body wanted to do, which was get out, but definitely worth it.
So you've got a great radar now for stuff like this. Yeah. You're able to see these things immediately, like when you get a sniff of them.
It's actually like, and because Mormonism for me was like a microcosm of so many of these other systems that exist for all of us. And especially like there's definitely stuff that I have to deal with all the time, not even just with Mormonism. Like you're just talking about like systemic pieces. And I like, there's the baseline assumptions, it comes up a ton in just like American culture, especially right now with all the nationalism and like white Christian nationalism, how the Christian element that's kind of going haywire right now. And to now be able to step back from all of that, like, and see that, I don't know, before when I was raised Mormon, so much of my community and the people around me, like 90% of every single person that I had interacted with in my whole life up until age 30 was probably Mormon. Like, that was my entire community, my entire worldview, and everyone around me, their shared worldview. So now that I can see, and I have like different community, I can see how, just how much we don't, I mean, this is a massive country. It's a huge world. Like, we assume so often that everybody comes from the same context we do. And I feel like that's one of the things that I'm struggling with a lot right now, outside of just like the religious aspect, is the fact that people in really important ways assume that everybody has the same religion, the Christian foundation. That's honestly kind of taking this huge context of this huge institution that all of us are subject to, that maybe plenty of us don't have that same guidebook for our lives anymore, but we can't step out of the American institution that's trying, like that loud Christian nationalism factor. Anyway, that's like kind of, the more that I'm awake to this and the more I'm on my own personal journey, yes, like you're saying, I just start seeing that we have so many frames where we do this to ourselves and to each other all the time. We assume that what we know is best. And I think that is my biggest value after leaving Mormonism, is everybody's individual sovereignty. And like, I am not interested in telling other people how to make choices for themselves or what those choices should be, or like on any level. So it's very hard for me. Like, that's awesome and wonderful and really empowering, but it's also very hard. It's getting, yeah, it's just really hard when I see how clearly that's not the basis that humanity has functioned on through like all of history.
No. Yeah, unfortunately. And that's, it's interesting that you say that. I was doing a webinar for the upcoming course yesterday, and I was trying to explain that. I was like, you know, there isn't one way to do menstrual cycle coaching. And I know you know this because I've said it so many times, but that's the reason why, because I don't want to replicate and enable those systems that are saying like, oh, well, if we just give Lisa all the information and the power, then she can tell people what to do. And it's like, that's bullshit. Excuse my French, you know, but it's, you know, so it's like, that's why I really encourage the participants to get curious, you know, about their own way of wanting to bring this work out into the world, et cetera, et cetera. Because I think that's more healing than anything. And then when you offer that to your own clients, that space to think critically, to choose, to move towards what works and, you know, away from what doesn't work, that's more healing than the information side, the content side, you know?
And like, every single body is different.
Yeah.
Every single person is different. Every single life is different. It's dangerous to think there's one right way.
Yeah.
Like, in any context, it's literally putting people in danger.
Yeah.
And like, it's creating systemic danger. So yes, like that's such a huge, important, so necessary approach that I super have valued from the training I did with you, for sure. So valuable.
Yeah. And it means it's uncomfortable because we have to sit in a lot of uncertainty. That's the problem. But we figure that out. And like you said at the start, we get good at sitting with uncomfortable feelings. So speaking of your work, Elizabeth, so you're now, you have your subscription box, you're doing coaching, you're running a program soon. Tell us about that. And I know that kind of links to what we were just talking about in your lived experience.
Yeah. So I am so excited about this. I'm working on building a program, a group program, specifically for ex-Mormons or others from similar high demand religions, where we're going to be traveling this together, where I'm going to help kind of raise awareness of these things that might still be impacting people who have left these institutional frameworks that are probably still very much alive in them. So the program itself is going to be called Sovereign. Imagine that.
I love that.
Yes, so it's like my favorite ex-Mormon word.
Good.
Like, Yes, so empowering. So, because yes, that's exactly what I hope to achieve with this group program, is that we can all come together and, well, it'll have this great community aspect of, you know, helping each other heal and come together and examine some of these institutional patterns and wounds. And also, okay, so how can we come home to our bodies, and how can we come home to our own seat of power through menstruality work as a lens to help us on this healing journey after leaving this like pretty harmful institution.
That is such a powerful program. And honestly, and I really, really mean this when I say this, is no better woman to be facilitating this program with your experience and your qualifications and your abilities and all that. It's, yeah, it's really, really important and necessary work, Elizabeth. And what I'm curious about is, where would people, because I'm also thinking like marketing for something like that, where do people who've been impacted by these systems, where would they be hanging out? And like, are there Facebook groups for these people and things like that?
I'm in so many Facebook groups.
Okay. So you're in this community. Okay.
Yes. And I actually, it's funny, I posted right before this interview, I posted about a half an hour before, and I was like, hey, I've got this interview in a half an hour. And I was just kind of reflecting that, like, I never would have known that I would be coming onto this international women's podcast to talk about healing after ex-Mormon through body sovereignty. Like, but I was just like, so kind of in awe that I'm on the journey that I'm on, because I was definitely, I mean, we were all raised to be small and quiet and please everybody else and serve other people. Don't speak up, especially about something that's uncomfortable in any way, right? So I was just kind of like sitting back and kind of being in awe of this moment of where I'm at, and like, yeah, like how incredible that I have, like, what better community to serve too. I feel like that has really become clear after I've like completed the program. So I've kind of been thinking about who I wanted to serve, and I was like, what better community, because this community has been through so much, and also like so many of us have lost so much from leaving so much, and we deserve good things too. And like, I am like a huge testament that there's so much power and coming home to your body sovereignty and coming home to your intuition and coming home to yourself as your own seat of power and authority. And like, I so like in awe that I'm able to have the opportunity to be where I'm at and to help serve this community that I'm just like care about so much anyway.
Oh, I'm getting all the feelings here, Elizabeth. You're making me emotional and happy and all at the same time, because I'm just so proud of you. And I just know how much work you've put into this professionally and personally. It's just like, I'm in awe with you, and it is incredible. And I'm, you know, thinking about my own lineage and my own teachers and the teachers you had at Red School, because I did the same training as you, and just like the courage it takes to go down this path, this very non-conventional path of menstrual cycle awareness work and healing work, and doing it in a way that is not lifestyle oriented, not that that's a bad thing, but deep healing, kind of spiritual healing, deep soul healing and body healing. And it's so, so needed. And yeah, I'm excited for your group. I'm excited to hear how it goes. When are you starting the program?
I'm thinking probably early fall.
Okay.
That's okay. My goal.
Okay. This year, yes. Like September, October, yeah, 2023. September. Great. Okay. Yes. And how long will it be for?
I'm not sure if it's, probably at least 3 to 4 months, but we'll see.
It's a pilot program, right? So yeah, you're probably going to evolve
it's still
it.
In development. Yeah. Yes. Because I'm really excited, because I know I will learn so much from the community too, of what their needs are that I'm sure I haven't even thought of, even though, because like, again, everybody's ex-Mormon journey is different.
Yes.
Just the same as everybody's just individual and life that's experiences.
Yeah, for people, anyone who might be listening to this, like, I can really give credit to Elizabeth's way of working, and which is the what she's learned in my program and in Red School's program, is, you know, the importance of listening to women. So you're not going to be going into a program where, you know, someone is going to tell you like, this is the way to heal. It'll probably be very collaborative, very gentle space. You can pace yourself. there'll be a focus on safety and
yes.
feeling comfortable in yourself. Building, there won't be any pressure. Yeah, yes. exactly.
Building self-capacity, building skills at your pace, a lot of community and healing ritual and like supportive, like it's, I'm designing it to be like a super supportive container where you're always empowered rather than like demeaned or talked down to or like told explicit instructions. Yeah, like none of that stuff.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like you probably like with in my course as well, Elizabeth, you were encouraged to think about what works, what doesn't work, you know, and that's the lovely thing, like from my position and now your position as a facilitator, it takes the pressure off you to have to know everything. Yeah. How could we possibly know everything before we meet
your clients? Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So it does take the pressure off. So I'm really excited to hear how that goes. Is there anything else happening for you business-wise or practice-wise or personally that you'd like to share?
I think that's like my main big exciting thing is that group program coming up, and I just like dream about it all the time. I'm so excited.
Oh my God. I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to, like, you'll have to definitely link. We'll make sure it gets linked in the show notes and everything as well. And yeah, I would highly recommend if you're feeling a little call, send Elizabeth a message on Instagram. She'll have a chat with you, I'm sure.
See if it's a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you'll be in very good hands. So thank you so much, Elizabeth, for coming on. It was such a pleasure to listen to you, and you know, I'm really grateful for your sharing your story and your lived experience and your hope and your recovery, which is, you know, huge. And hearing about that, which can never be taken away from you, which is your sovereignty and your relationship with menstrual cycle awareness and your skills that you've learned and that you now live every day. So that's it. Thank you very much for coming on. And thanks everyone for listening. I'll make sure to link all of Elizabeth's details in the show notes. What's your website again? Because you gave it to me.
myclubred.com.
Brilliant. And then you're on Instagram as well, aren't you? What is it the handle?
myclubred.
Easy. Okay, well, make sure to link that. And then for anyone who's interested in joining my program, like I said before, we're starting this October 2023. Applications are now open, so you can head on over to the link in the show notes to read more about that. And have a great rest of your week, everyone. Bye. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.